We are recording.
Good. All right. Welcome all. This is Monday, July 23rd. The time is 1:10 p.m. Calling to order the Executive Committee of the Leon County Research and Development Authority. Chair, would it make sure that there is a quorum in attendance? And I note there is. And have we been properly noticed?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So therefore, then we are official. Are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, I think we need a vote to allow Kristen Dozier to participate by telephone.
And is there a motion to that effect?
Yes, so moved.
And is there a second to that effect?
So, second.
Okay. Any opposition? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. This time the chair will ask for all guests in the room to identify themselves.
Mary Campbell with NAI Talcor.
Stephanie Chulay with NAI Talcor.
All right. Very good. Thank you for your attendance today. We appreciate you. You have been provided with copies of the draft of the meeting minutes for the May 23rd meeting. The chair has reviewed those. They appear to be accurate, but if you have suggestions for modifications, revisions, deletions, please state so now. Hearing none, we'll approve the draft minutes by
motion.
By motion.
Second.
Second.
Okay. All right. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Just for the record, Ian motioned. I didn't.
Yeah. Just for the record. All right. Okay. Let's talk about the Morgan Building restroom renovations. And should we go over there and cut the ribbon or something?
I'm not going to touch that. Anyway, the first round of renovations are almost complete. Are they? They're done?
They're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we have a couple punch list items.
Yeah,
we'll figure
those
out. Okay. So that was the Don Fuquay complex. There are four restrooms there, two up and two down. The second phase is doing the Morgan Building. We did manage to keep the first one under $50,000 in the first phase. Mm-hmm. And we had a total budgeted of $100,000 for the combined projects. This, what you see on the agenda now, is our recommendation to accept a bid for $37,330 for completion of the Morgan Building restrooms. This is a little different than the way we did it the last time. On the Fuquay, we basically Talcor acted as the general contractor and individually bid out each of the components. This time we decided to look at having the a general contractor do the work, and she was able to find one who could do it for a little bit less. One of the primary reasons this is so much less is we don't have the HVAC units that we had to put in the outdoor, while their exterior of the building restrooms had no heating and air conditioning in it. These are, what type of units?
Mini split.
Yeah.
They're mini split.
So this is little units you see hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
So is it heating and air conditioning?
Yes.
Okay. So the tenants really love that now because they can be out there in the summertime and not. And we also had issues before with condensation.
About as bad as an outhouse, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But we also had condensation issues to the point where we could have slip and fall accidents and things like that if we didn't take care of that. So this really solved the problem there. But that's the primary reason for the difference there, because that was just under $10,000. And then this person is actually doing it for a really good price, we think.
Okay, staff has reviewed the proposal and recommends it. Is there any discussion regarding this proposal?
No. Move approval.
Motion?
Second.
Second. Any further comment? Hearing none, those in favor of the renovation for the Morgan Building restrooms, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign.
Kristen? Kristen?
Sorry?
You do get to vote.
Yeah, I said aye.
Okay.
You do get to vote, right?
Yes,
yeah.
You do. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you vote on the
minutes? I don't have the minutes, but I'll approve the minutes, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, y'all were going fast.
Yep.
Which is good.
Yes, that's the intent. Okay, let's go now to the Janitorial Services Agreement, RFP number 1802.
So in this case, we did do a formal RFP. Given the nature of the services, those RFPs were reviewed by Talcor and myself. And our recommendation was to accept the bid from United States Service Industries. As you will see in your packet and on the screen here, the pricing, USSI was not the lowest bidder. We did have concerns about M&J's proposal. They are basically our current, one of the current staff members of the incumbent, went with his wife to start a new company. They're a very small organization. They don't have a lot of business, and we're concerned about things like lack of depth. On top of that, we were really impressed with the proposal from USSI. So they, I mean, just side by side, this was M&J's proposal. Did not cover the same kinds of ground that USSI did. In particular, things that we liked were, you know, their hiring process and staffing, the just, you know, e-verify that all the background checks they do, how they, you know, manage their people, their quality control programs. So just a very professional, formal companies. I mean, things like, you know, material safety data sheets, which you have to have for all the chemicals and stuff that they store. So they really had all the bases covered, and when you look at that compared to the price, we just felt like it made a heck of a lot more sense to go with someone like them. They are in Tallahassee. They're a large, I don't know if they're regional, because they go everywhere from, what, Massachusetts down to Florida, but they have a local presence, and they have had for quite a long time. Talcor uses them on at least one other account and basically served as their reference. So that's our recommendation that we go with USSI.
You've heard the recommendation of staff. It's been also vetted by Talcor. That is to approve the renewal of contract or a contract with United States Service Center or Industries. Any questions? And if not, is there a motion? There is a question.
Just one question. I just didn't look at this. How long is the contract?
So it's a one-year contract with 2 one-year options to extend, and there's lots of cancellation provisions. We're not locked in. I think it's a 45-day out or something like that. So.
Okay.
And this contract is based on per square foot.
Mm-hmm.
So as we increase or decrease our square footage occupied, including common areas, the actual total dollar cost will go up or down.
Well,
yeah. So you can see here, I didn't put these rates on the other sheets, but so these are the actual per square foot per month rates for years 1, 2, and 3. And this is our current rate right here.
Okay.
All right, there's a motion, I think.
I move it.
And a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Those in favor accepting.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, go ahead.
Yep, those in favor accepting the motion for the RFP 1802 Janitorial Services Agreement be approved, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. All right, now RFP 1803 Property Management and Accounting Services. Discussion by staff.
So the evaluation committee reviewed the proposals and took presentations by the only two proposers, which were Beck Properties, or Beck Partners, I'm sorry, and Talcor. The financial differences were significant. Thought I had this all nice and tidy. Okay. So these were the financial differences. You can see that the 3-year difference, and that is not correct. Oh, I'm sorry, it is correct. Originally it was 100,000. I've had to move some things around here because Talcor did revise their rates after they were awarded the agreement. They looked at some of the increase that they had included related to administrative costs that they had previously billed separately. I had asked in the RFP that they not do that, that they not bill separately, but in the RFP, they increased their price to compensate for that and decided to take that back, take that increase away after the fact, which they can do. So the difference is approximately $82,000 over 3 years. Now, they're higher by $82,000 than that.
Yeah, I was trying to make sure.
And we had the same situation happen 3 years ago with a different evaluation committee. And the evaluation committee was comprised of Kim Williams, Paul Dean, and Kristen Dozier. And Kristen, do you want to comment on the evaluation committee's process?
Sure. It was like any of these conversations, whether it's hiring or selecting between two good companies, it was challenging for us. I think we had a good discussion, Paul and Kim and I, both during the presentations with both presenters, and Ron participated in that for sure. But then afterwards, both companies were in the room with us, and the three of us talked through the score sheet. I think, Ron, if you want me to go through just the general scoring.
I think what the big differences were in the way that they looked at it, and how it was justified to go with the higher price bid.
Yes. So, of the three of us, we basically just only had two companies. We were scoring them individually, and then one company got a one, was in first place, and one company was in second place, obviously. So Kim and Paul scored TauCore in first place. I scored Beth in first place by a couple of points. They were pretty close. For me, speaking of that first, Beth met the basic qualifications of what we were asking them to do. I was on that evaluation committee a few years ago, and Beth responded at that time. They have built up some staff. They're planning on buying an office, or they've just purchased an office in Tallahassee, so they do have a presence. But there was a difference in the depth of knowledge with their maintenance staff. Certainly, Beck has one person on staff, was going to hire a second person, and said they would be able to meet our requirements, but there was, I voiced some concern, and as did the rest of the committee, about the depth of that experience, the cost associated with not being able to do something in-house, things like that. One member of the committee, it was Kim, was concerned, I think, like mostly about the ability to get the job done, because at the much lower price, and we talked to some of the respondents a few years ago, just, I guess, anecdotally we could say, since we only have two responses this time, and the experience level and that depth of knowledge, particularly in maintenance, really came through in both, I think, what Kim said and what Paul said as well. There was one additional piece for me I'll just mention that I didn't feel like I could score, but I did mention it in our discussion several times, which was that TauCore purchased Urban Tallahassee. If you haven't seen that website or Facebook presence, they've got a pretty broad reach just about new developments happening in Tallahassee. And Ed Murray has suggested that we could advertise some in Urban Tallahassee and things like that. It was a value added for sure, with no additional cost, but it wasn't in the scoring. So for me, I feel very comfortable with where we came out, but I think the price was what tipped balance for me. And those other factors tip the balance for the other two members of the committee. So I'm perfectly comfortable with TauCore getting the bid, but I think we also have to recognize in all this bid that this is substantially higher, and there may come a point in the next few years where it is more competitive as we see other companies with the similar experience. Is that sufficient, Ron, or more?
Yeah, I think so. And the other, there was another difference, which was the lack of a CPA on staff.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
And that I think is very substantial. given our past history and we have really seen, you know, all the clean audits and everything, I just don't think you can discount not having a CPA on staff.
And Ron, to that point, some of our concerns about the accounting being out of town last time, I think, were we felt a little more comfortable this time, but there were still differences on the accounting end with people being on staff. You're right.
Yeah. So I think that was most of the conversation. It was certainly, you know, I think tough for the committee. I think they tried to be as objective as they could with the point system. That's, as you've all served on these evaluation committees, it can be very difficult to do.
I know some organizations have a point warning for transition risks, and certainly if we stay with the same vendor, we have no transition risk. If we switched, we would have had some in there with accounting issues or payroll or whatever. Just making sure it got handled right. So that is a risk. I've seen one large company change payroll vendors and they missed the new company missed the first payroll. So that was pretty alarming event. You missed payroll,
pretty alarming.
A lot of people.
And there's also another thing that's not in there is the opportunity cost, which is when you take staff away from the things we should be working on and instead we're working on administrative tasks trying to help transition from one company to another. If it was just maintenance, I don't think that would be as big a deal, but when you're talking about the financial side and trying to transition between systems and move all the data and all of that, I mean, obviously, any one of these things by itself is probably not enough to overcome the 100,000, but I think when you look at it combined, there's a significant difference. And the other thing I wanted to bring up is what I think what Kim Williams was trying to get at, and Kristen alluded to this, was the fact that the cost is so low makes them wonder if you can actually do it for that amount of money. And and if you, so basically, if they're saying, if the thought is maybe they're lowballing to get the business, are they going to come back and either, you know, reduce the quality of service or come back and ask for more money, you know, in those situations? And this is not janitorial services where you could probably switch back and forth relatively easily if you didn't like the result you got. This one definitely, as you said, has transfer risks and opportunity costs. So
how long has Talcor been our property manager?
Since 2009? 10.
The summer of 10, we came in under an emergency, but then had to go through a competitive bidding process at that point.
And this one,
I think the original award was without bid.
Yeah.
Right, the emergency, but within just a few months after, we did have to compete for it.
So I want to thank Kim, Paul, Kristen. This is not easy to do. This is something that makes me real uncomfortable just because after a while, you know, you stick with the same person and you are really subject to criticism. Is there any, and I do not fault anything that happened, I'm in favor of the, you know, the outcome, et cetera. Do you think there's any reason why we only get two responders?
We had five the last time?
I think so, because I was on the...
And frankly, I think the others, the two that did respond were basically the final two the last time.
Yep.
And
I remember.
And the other three just weren't in the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was actually part of, and I think Kristen alluded to this as well, which is if you go back and look at what the others bid 3 years ago, you're like, how could, I mean, they were at least, I think, reasonable, or at least one or two were reasonably close to what Talcor is doing, but were still substantially more. Again, you know, how that can be so much lower just didn't make sense. But I think it's just a matter of them going, hey, we're not in the game here. You know, they're clearly, you know, the authorities expressed that it's not dissatisfied with the services that Talcor is getting providing. That what's, you know, how are they going to compete? They can only compete on price or service. So,
yeah, and I think there are a lot of companies out there that do maintenance. There's a lot of companies out there that do financial. I'm not sure there are a whole lot that combine the two into one package, and that may restrict a little bit the number of bidders.
Well, I think
that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. I think we've done a great job of doing this the right way, the way it needs to be done. I just think we're in a period of a very different atmosphere in, you know, city county government, and there's going to be a lot of scrutiny of this sort of thing, but I'm satisfied that, you know, we've made the best choice.
You've heard the recommendation. Excuse me, any questions?
No. I mean, I think that the price differential is of concern. I can imagine the other company saying, what do we need to do to win this thing? We'll just cut that budget so low that they have to pick us.
Actually, he suggested as he was walking out the door that maybe he needed to raise the price for the next bid.
Right. Well, you know, we want people to be able to adequately service the park, and so when you low bid it, that puts you in a difficult situation. They're the low. They were lower by what percentage here?
What?
Or higher?
It's about a third.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I know that Kristen and Paul and Kim did a great job with this, and I appreciate that very much. So I move to accept their recommendation.
Motion and a second. You heard a discussion regarding property management and accounting services agreement. We do have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Can I make one last comment?
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate what you both said. It wasn't easy, and this is one of those that I'm not sure it's ever just about the price. It can never be.
Right.
And Jared Coyle, some of the others, it's a little easier to look at it. I mean, obviously, we're looking at qualifications, like Ron said before, and expertise, but this is a little more challenging. Having said that, I've said it before, and I think that we got to be careful about walking into incumbents, and even just because we're a public entity. I think CalCorp is great, but a, you know, competitive process is probably in our favor long term. And we may want to talk about how we do this. The transition, Ron and I had a conversation about just the timing of the RFP being challenging, because it would, if we ever chose to make a change, we would be transitioning right around the time of the audit. Now both companies said that was possible and everything, but I'm not changing. I'll support the motion, obviously. I voted for it at the committee, but I just think this may be one we want to talk about in the next couple of years before we get to the RFP point again.
This is a one-year contract with two-year options.
This one is actually a three-year contract.
It's a three-year contract, okay.
So we have
no options for renewal.
No, there are options for one-year renewals after that.
One-year options after that?
Yeah,
two 1 years?
Doesn't specify how many.
Doesn't specify, okay. All right, you've heard the motion, you've heard the second, you've heard the discussion. Those in favor of recommending, does this one have to be recommended to the board, and will that be done through consent?
No, this is actually, this is approval, and then it will go on consent.
Okay. All right.
And let me add one more thing. We did, in the contract, put in language related to the website. What's it called again?
Urban Tallahassee.
Yes, so that was a couple weeks ago, a week ago. I can't remember. We put language in there related to that. We also put in language related to their annual contribution to the tech grant at $1,000 to sponsor the tech grant. So just so you know, that is in the contract. It's the Urban Tallahassee is kind of loosely in there, because we just basically says we'll work together in good faith to promote the park on their website. So not getting too far into the weeds on that, and I have confidence that they will do that in good faith.
Okay, those in favor of approving the motion that would approve the property management and accounting services agreement, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. All right, now let's talk about the Collins Building, RFQ 1804. Ron, you have the floor.
And just for the record, Kim Williams says he can't make it.
Okay. Kristen does count as a quorum, doesn't she?
It wouldn't matter. I mean,
we still have
them. We have a quorum either way.
You've got a quorum with three in the room.
Yeah, that's right. Three out of five.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, three out of five in the room. That's correct.
I always have to go back and look at that.
Yeah.
So, but yes, we have a quorum. Okay, so I sent you on Friday.
You all there?
Yes. Can you hear?
Okay. Now, yeah, you're back. I'm sorry. You went away for a second.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So on Friday, we, as I was trying to scramble to put an RFQ together, I looked at, you know, I got about 90% done with the RFQ and got to the kind of the last part of the process and didn't like what I was seeing on how this was going to play out. We had to do a lot of investigation into the statutory requirements. Pardon. My voice does not want to cooperate today. So we had to do a lot of investigation into the statutory requirements on design build. And I worked with Melissa on this quite a bit. And we had decided on the design build to do a qualification-based procurement. And that process is basically this option two that you see on the screen. So you go out and you do an RFQ and you get, you know, the top three qualified firms, and then you basically you pick one and negotiate with that one. So you're not picking based on price. It's just strictly based on qualifications. Then that person goes out and does a pre-construction study basically for a fee. So they have to actually go out and do architectural engineering work, you know, come back with an approved floor plan, and then come back with basically that's their technical proposal with a guaranteed maximum price and a guaranteed completion date. And then if you don't like that price or that date, and you can't negotiate, you can try to negotiate, but if you can't negotiate what you want, then you got to go to the next qualified person and start that process all over again.
And this is all set out in the statute?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I vaguely remember this, yeah.
Some of it you got to piece together in terms of what the negotiation, it's called a competitive negotiation, which doesn't actually look too competitive to me, but you have to go through this competitive negotiation process. It doesn't stipulate in there exactly how you get to the competitive negotiation. It doesn't talk about technical proposals and all that. But that's what, in talking to contractors, that's what you have to do in order to get to the price. Okay. So the other option in statute is that you do what's in option one, which is a competitive proposal. Okay, and it's similar, except the specifications are determined up front. And it's this design criteria package that allows you to go out then and get a, basically it's the spec, okay? And you do it up front. To me, this is looking an awful lot, instead of like a design build, more like a design bid build, okay? So we're actually creating this criteria package it's not a full set of specs, and I have a sample to show you what that design criteria package looks like. But you see the verbiage up there on what it actually is, and that's straight from statute. So you do you actually have to do if it's over $35,000, you have to do an RFQ just to hire the architect to do the design criteria package. Okay. Now I think the county, I think they do their own. I think they have in-house staff that's qualified to do it. And the example that I have is actually from the county. But we would have to go out and hire somebody. And so we'd have to do an RFQ for the architect, and then we would do an RFQ for the design bid firms based on that design criteria package. And the caveat there is that the architect that does the design criteria package can't bid on the design build project. But my recommendation would be that you keep that architect to basically be our representative to oversee the project. with the design build team. And again, it's starting to look a lot like a design build if you do.
So that architect would do construction draw approvals?
Yes. So we would go through that same RFQ process for the design build firms, get three, and but at that point we would have the specs that we could go ahead and get the competitive proposals directly off the design criteria package. And would not have, we could have three firms do that, not pay them to do it. And then we would have at least something to compare to between competing firms.
This sounds like it lengthens the process.
Well, I thought so too, but honestly, I think you have the risk when you, because you still got to do this pre-construction study on option two, which could be 6 weeks, it could be more. Depends, especially if you don't successfully negotiate with the first one. I also think you lose a lot of leverage by basically trying to negotiate this with one entity. How do you know? I mean, the architect can tell us, you know, yeah, this sounds reasonable, but I think having competing firms, to me, makes more sense.
It's similar to the ITN process that the state will use at times.
The invitation to negotiate, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, you know, painful.
Yeah.
When you're the one or number one or two bidder, because they can stop negotiations and go to the second firm at any time.
Yes.
So it does put pressure on you to lower your price, lower your price, lower your price.
But I think the state has a lot more leverage in this situation than we would.
Yeah.
You and council have reviewed the options. What is staff's recommendation?
I think we go to option one, that we hire an architect to put the design criteria package together. And complete the process under option one. And I can show you quickly, here's what the design criteria package from the county. Sorry, Kristen, but you've probably already seen this.
No, okay.
Actually, it's 2009. But this was for the Leon County Courts Annex. And this is their design criteria package. So you can see, it's not a slight document. It's 39 pages. It's got all the specifics of the project for those that have been in the courthouse there. I'm sorry to say that I have been in that courthouse.
So I have a stupid question.
Yes.
Do we have to do all this stuff?
Yes.
Just back to first principles. So we are within the requirement that anything we do in this regard has to be pursuant to statute. We can't make up our own process.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, back up. There is, it says we are subject to the statute.
Okay.
In the, and I gave you the statute as well.
And I apologize. I mean, I just.
No, that's okay.
I didn't look at any of this stuff in detail.
I've been looking at it until I'm blind. But,
yeah.
So this is the statute. And there's another statute related to special districts that says we're subject to this statute.
Okay.
Now it does.
What's that question?
This is one of those things where you read this whole thing, and this whole thing is related to hiring architects and engineers and surveyors and all of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this the thing that we call the Consultants Competitive Negotiation Act?
Yeah. Procurement. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe
okay.
It's something like that.
Yeah.
In that they include design build. Okay. Down mm-hmm. here. Okay. Because I think some people may have tried to use design build as a way to circumvent some of this, so they threw it into here. And then the hard part is you get down here to the bottom after you read all this stuff, and it talks about the competitive selection, the competitive negotiation, and then down here it says, paragraph 9, applicability to design build contracts. Except as provided in this subsection, this section is not applicable to the procurement of design build contracts by any agency, which is us. And the agency must award design build contracts in accordance with the procurement laws, rules, and ordinances applicable to the agency. Okay?
Okay.
But then it says,
It still says in here that we have to at least do one of those two processes down, if you continue to read down in this subsection.
Okay.
And that's where it gives us these two, the options one and two, basically.
Well, so what I have to say about this is that this is outside of anything that I could be really of any help on, you know, apart from studying up and relearning all this stuff, which I was. So I trust our counsel. I think Kristen's done plenty of this stuff in her other life. I suspect April has, Dave has.
You know. A little, but not a lot.
So my question really is, do we have all the expertise that we need to make the decision that we need to make? I don't feel very comfortable with the, how to do this, which is the best way to do it, if I were having to do it just myself. I trust these other people. If we think we've kind of touched all the relevant areas of expertise or people who know about such things or what we're likely to get when we go through this tortuous process.
I suspect our architect would help to some degree navigate us through some of the rough stuff.
But that would mean we would have already chosen our architect, or have we already chosen
our architect? We will, as part of option one.
That's the next step.
And that is exactly my point.
Yeah.
I think we need to have that guidance up front.
Yeah.
And not wait till we get to the end. I think they will help us.
Absolutely.
Do this better.
I think it makes so much sense to have, I mean, none of us, certainly on the board, have enough expertise to guide a project, to create the specifications, to negotiate on such a, you know, these are technical things that if all of a sudden we forget to ask for something, you know, that could be a very expensive mistake. So having an architect acting as our agent is very helpful, I think.
And so the choice of the architect is going to be critical.
It's going to be critical, but, you know, they're licensed and they know what they're doing.
And that procurement is subject to the very same statute.
Okay. Yeah.
So the only thing that would not be subject is, I believe, is if, and this is something I have to get clarified, is if the cost is less than $35,000.
Yeah, which it won't be.
For the architect. And that's the question I have, is it the cost of the architect or the cost of the total project that dictates? Yeah. Because the construction, the threshold for the construction projects, I believe, is like $350,000. So they have different categories in the procurement laws related to different rules. So if it's the 350 for the construction project, we're clearly over. If it's 35,000 for the architect, then we'd be under.
Okay.
Now, it has been brought up, I believe. Kristen, didn't you have a thought about the procurement of an architect?
Oh, about the county list? That part of our conversation?
Yeah, about whether we use the continuing services contract from the county or do an RFQ.
Yes. On that point, and then if you don't mind, I'll take the opportunity to circle back to the options. I think what we had talked about on Friday, Ron, was that there may be architects on the continuing service contracts or architects list for the county that could do this work, but there may be others in the community who are not on that list, who would be well equipped to either serve in that role as our advising consulting architect or to be part of the team. So, Ron, that's what you're speaking to, right? I was thinking that either way we go, we probably don't want to use or be limited by the county is continuing list because it may not be include all architects who have done this type of work in other places. Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Did you want to say something else about that before I make one other comment?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, just Ron and I did talk about this briefly on Friday before he emailed us and Ron, it was very helpful. I can close out Friday. I was driving, so it was helpful to read through your options and everything. While we were talking about it, I kept coming back to added cost, added time for going through this and wondering if we wanted to separate the design build. But just listening to your conversation just then, I really came to this weekend thinking that we needed that architect that is an agent for the park to work on this. Just picking up on our last conversation about the property manager contract, all that, the opportunity cost. We have a lot going on right now, and anybody who's built a home or remodeled an office or done anything, we're going to have to be involved a lot. And so, Ron, if I'm understanding all the different moving pieces here and your recommendation now and what the conversation was, I think it sounds like we're all on the same page that having the architect who is our agent, our representative, is the direction we want to go. Is that, we're on the same page for that?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. So yeah, this is more complicated. We got multiple steps in the process, but it seems like the best thing long term.
I agree.
All right, you've heard the recommendation from staff. Has council been involved extensively, or?
Yes.
Okay, with council's concurrence.
Now, I did not ask for her guidance on option one or option two,
Yeah. Only
to understand the options.
Yeah.
My past experience has been that the answer to that question is that's a business decision.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you heard the recommendation of staff that we go with option one. And after that is reviewed, approved by the board again?
It can go on consent.
Can go on consent. The next step there would be to then start the process of identifying the proper architect and
yes.
RFQ for that.
Yes.
Okay. All right, you've heard some discussion. Is there a motion to proceed with option one for the renovation to the Collins building?
I made that motion.
There is a motion. Now, is there a
second?
Now, there's a second to that motion. Further discussion. Hearing none, those in favor of adopting the option one for the Collins building renovation, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. Okay, thanks for all of those who have worked on all of these four different projects. A lot of work has been done off to the side that didn't require the executive committee to wrestle with some of this. And I appreciate the time those have spent on it. I appreciate it. Okay, slate of officers for the 2018-19 period. Ron, you have any discussion you want to start off with this?
I can just say that I asked the current officers if they would be willing to continue to serve in the same roles next year as the roles they're serving in this year, and all have agreed. And there's no vote on this until there's no. I'm sorry, Kristen.
I'm so sorry, Ron. I just said thank you all. I thought you were done.
But there's no vote on this until obviously until the October board meeting. Take that back. We can do that. Can we do that at this board meeting, Kristen? Do you recall at the August board meeting?
Yeah, I think we typically get officers at the board meeting.
The last board meeting of the year.
The last board meeting of the year because we change at October 1. And that's typically before our October board meeting.
Yes.
Is there any business sense to defer that? Do we need to defer it? Or we got to act, or can we just act on it now that it's fresh?
I believe we can act on it at next week's board meeting.
Yeah. You got time to do it on the agenda?
Yes. And so I don't think that will take
long. Does anybody have any opposition? Just go ahead and roll it through while we got it up there, or do you want to wait? I have no preference either way. But
the only time it matters is if you're actually making a change, because there's a lot of forms and things that have to be done so that it's ready to roll October 1, like all the investments and wire transfers. And
when does our new appointment?
October
1.
Yeah.
So if we wait till October, then the new person, that would be the only.
Yeah, that's, I can't imagine. In pastures, we've actually had more folks who weren't on there, but frankly, those folks don't really know anything about anyone anyway, most
yeah.
of the time.
Yeah. I'm fine
so
with
I think past
it.
Boards
just,
have
yeah.
looked at it as let the people who are experienced with these officers vote on it and not
yeah.
worry about the newbies.
Unless I hear any objection, I'd say just go ahead and put it on the August board meeting agenda. As you know, or should have known, probably do know, we do have the appointment of a new board member coming on.
Subject to approval by the county commission?
Yes, I'm sorry, that's correct. I hadn't gone with them yet. Only recommendation from the committee going
nomination,
to them.
Yeah.
Kristen, when does that take place?
September 4th.
They will likely put it on the September 4th commission meeting,
Vince said the 4th.
Okay. The only other meeting in September would be the 24th,
We asked to get it as early as possible so that we could make sure the new board members could get in and know about the next
yeah.
meeting.
So in addition to what you're talking about with the officer votes, and these people don't really have a sense of the election, that was one part of our choice in the past, but we also have so much wrapped up with the chairman and their authority of signing checks and everything like that. We can't really go past October 1 without a election for a chairman. Is that right, Ron?
I think the bylaws say that the existing officers would continue to serve until replaced.
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't like to go through that process. I'd like to get it nice and neat and cleaned up and put it in place before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Okay, if there are no other discussion, we'll look forward to seeing that on the August agenda. All right, strategic planning. We're not going to pass anything today, but I'm interested in hearing from our executive committee your thoughts. We've been operating for a while with a strategic plan that probably needs now some real cleanup and rethought and some new direction and so on and so forth. In the past, we've had meetings in the evening. We've had meetings on Saturdays. We've had various times in which we've pulled together a committee. We've tried to get it at such time where we could get everybody away from their cell phones, everybody away from having to get up and call the office, and so on and so forth. I guess there's kind of three options to look at. We could do it some week night at some off-site location. We could do it here following a board meeting. We could do it on a Saturday. If it's football weekend, then that kind of gets a little dicey because everybody's got some favorite team, but we could pull off and do an 8 o'clock to a 2 o'clock or a 1 o'clock or a 5 o'clock or whatever. I think we need to think in terms of how that would be staffed and directed, whether we would look forward to the existing staff managing that process, whether we bring in somebody who does that for a living, and runs us through the process. So without commitments today, I want to hear from our executive committee members their thought process on how you would like to see that rolled out. First, let's talk about the time. Weekend, day, night, whatever.
Can I have just one clarification?
Yes, ma'am.
This is the plan I carried around with me. Do you remember when we adopted it?
It was in November of...
That's what I thought, 16.
I think it was formally voted on like the next, in the December board meeting or something like that, maybe even
okay,
maybe
November. So we're coming up to what was supposed to be the two-year end.
The three-year.
Three-year anniversary.
15
this is 18, yeah.
I'm sorry, this is...
It was November of 15.
Oh, 04, 16 through 18.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Sorry.
So it's been 3 years. It really does need refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got new staff members. We have all kinds of new thought processes, where we're going, how we're going to get there, and so on. So let's talk about when is the ideal time that you think this would best serve us, our needs, and get people away from their office and reflecting on what needs to be done and the most beneficial to us.
Are you, I mean, I think it's going to be hard to get a weekend where people can do it. But it's possible we could, and I'm totally willing to do that. It's easier to get people together during the week. I'm going to be in Italy for 2 weeks in October, and I think fall's hard to schedule, but we just need to start throwing some dates out and see what might work. So I think it's going to be hard to get a weekend, but...
Your preference is...
Maybe a Friday.
Or your preference
like
is...
Like on a Friday during the day.
Okay.
How long?
I think as much time as you can get, because no matter how much time you allot, you'll need more.
Yep.
So...
Is this a... 4, 6, or 8 hour session.
Yep. We did, I think the last time we did about 6. I know. Yeah, exactly. That's the reaction most people have.
So are we
shooting
this
like that for the person, but.
Well, I think we all be thinking in terms of right about the calendar year transition somewhere along in there.
My recommendation would be November.
Okay.
Only because it's a special meeting. We have board meetings in October and December. So early November, I think, if it can work.
Before the Thanksgiving era.
Yeah, before Thanksgiving.
It's a crowded month because of Thanksgiving. But
but if you get, you know, the last week of October, first week of November.
We would have a new board member in by then.
Veterans Day is the 12th.
Yeah.
So you might be able to do something like the 2nd or the 16th.
What day of the week are you
That's
what
I'm looking
if
at
Friday,
Friday
yeah.
If you go for Friday.
Denise
is Friday the
best
day? I'll ask that question.
Yeah, to me, Thursday's the best day because that's prime time for people to do something.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm fine with whatever. Yeah. You're probably right. It will be easier.
So.
I think that's why we have the first Thursday of
Yeah. Kristen, sort of building consensus for an all-day meeting on a Thursday somewhere in late October, early November. You want to debate that any at all?
Well, I really want to know whether it was Ann or April who are going to be in Italy in October, because funny enough, we will be in Italy, but it's late October. We're leaving on the 26th, and I'm not back in town until the 12th.
Okay. The 12th of November?
It's good time there. So 13th to 16th
work.
Yes.
And I'm out of town.
Is somebody laughing at me?
No, we're deciding to have the meeting in Italy instead.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey,
strategic planning.
Someone wanted to plan a trip, and I told him not until we knew about the election. So now we're going to be gone on election day. It's very odd.
How
about? It's a nice alternative.
How about like Thursday the 29th?
I'm out of town on that day.
Did y'all talk about
the Thursday the 29th of what?
Of November.
Did that not work?
That's Thanksgiving week.
No,
it's the week after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm open the 13th through the
16th. And I'm out of town, but...
You're out of town on the 13th through the 16th?
Mm-hmm. Texas.
Both of you are 13th through the 16th?
Just me, I think.
So now we're at the 29th. Keeping in mind that there will be a board meeting on the 6th.
I think that's okay. I mean, unless that's not okay with you
I'll just have to get the agenda out quicker, but that's fine.
And maybe we can just endeavor to have it be as short a board meeting as possible. You know,
I always endeavor for that.
Okay. So is there a consensus building?
It may be a little early. I'm sorry, Dave, but the week of October 15th or 22nd to 25th, I mean, is that too early?
Say again the dates, please.
If I remember last time, we had a strategic planning meeting, but then Ron worked on it a good bit, and that's why we eventually approved it in December, rather. So I'm just wondering about the week of the 15th of October or the week of the 22nd.
Yeah, the other thing.
That's when you were going in April. Go ahead.
We'll also have the consideration if we decide to get a facilitator, trying to get somebody who's available for any of these dates. So.
Yeah.
Did we think we're a little out November the 8th? Was that when you all, either of you go over to be gone? Kristen, were you out November the 8th?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going.
All right. Okay.
I can miss it.
Well, we know you stay here instead of going to Italy, but we wouldn't want you to have to do that.
Okay.
I think you were saying miss the board meeting, right?
Not miss Italy.
Well, October 18th or the October 25th are, you know, those.
Yeah, and I could say tentatively that's okay for me.
October 25th.
I'm not available the 25th.
Okay.
I may not be available. I'm applying for the ACE tour, and it's in Silicon Valley.
How about the 18th?
I can do the 18th.
So there's two potential dates, October 18th or November, whatever that is.
29th.
Staff, because of all the work you have to do, you have a recommendation.
We got it.
Staff, do you have a preference of the October 18th or the November 29th?
No.
Should we offer these two to the board then and see how many we think can be in attendance?
Yes.
All right, let's put those down as the date. Now let's talk about the time. Is it an all-day event? I think my thought process is it probably should be or could be.
I think we should set it aside as an all day.
May as well. By the time you do 6 hours, you're at 8.
Yeah, what's another two?
I wonder if we should also just look at like December 6th as maybe, you know, a third choice just for people's calendars.
December 6th?
Yeah, that Thursday, December 6th. It's odd because December actually turns out to be a great day to have meetings because most people aren't traveling during December. They start to already get in that mode, and so...
I travel at the end of December. Yeah.
At the end of December, yeah.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, that's good.
December 6th is a board meeting day.
Okay.
Now, if you want to roll them together and just make an all-day board meeting...
Maybe leave that as
I think I'd prefer to separate them.
Yeah.
Well, I think putting them together is not a bad idea at all.
You like
and
that.
I think the impetus, the pressure to actually get people there is greater if you say, this is our board meeting, we're going to devote this whole day, and please be here.
All right, so we're going to offer to the board three options. October 18th, November 29th, or December 6th, which that meeting would include the board meeting. That would give us less time, however, to do the strategic planning.
Well, Ron, to what extent would we have to have a meeting?
Well, I will tell you, I believe we canceled the last December board meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that is good from that perspective.
Because we're at College Building, some of these other things.
Yeah, I can't anticipate what business we're going to have.
As somebody who's...
But we could have an abbreviated agenda.
Yeah,
if we had to.
Well, yeah, we don't have to do the other stuff. We'll just consent and,
Well, that's kind of what you end up talking about anyway.
Yeah.
This planning and...
Yeah.
So as somebody who's been through a lot of strategic planning processes and who is not very temperamentally suited to them, that would be me. I don't think longer is better. I think somebody who cracks the whip hard and, makes puts timelines on things, if you have to send people into a corner and say, come back in 15 minutes, I just don't think longer is better. That's just my take on it.
I will tell you that just from my recent experience with we just did this for Junior Achievement, and we hired a facilitator to come in and crack the whip. And he did a lot of collaboration groups, so some people have them in groups because it's a larger board, kind of like what we have here. that takes more time.
But was the board our size or?
It was actually 13. So the thing is, when you come back, then you have to choose. You know, you go back, you get ideas, and then you spend a lot of time negotiating on what's the right few things that you should be focused on each of the elements of the strategic plan, and that takes time. So I like the facilitator we had a little bit. Maybe he got a little too hung up in process, mm-hmm. but I liked his process. It just, he was married to it, and I think that's the facilitator will absolutely make a lot of the difference. Mm-hmm. Now, the last time we did it, I think we did it in less than, was it 4 hours, 5 hours? Mm-hmm.
Six.
Was it six?
Mm-hmm.
But I facilitated it.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely don't want to do that again.
Okay.
Not because I didn't, I love doing it, but I think we need to get a different result.
It's very hard when you're internal to yeah. facilitate, and it's hard to participate
yeah.
when you're facilitating, because yeah. I've done a lot of strategic planning, I don't want to do this, but it's, you know.
Those and you run them for other people?
Yeah, yeah. But I, you know, you can't participate. You yeah. have to have your facilitator hat on, so.
Let's limit the discussion here for just a second. We're moving around the facilitator. Let's kind of think in terms of how long this should last. Then the next thing we'll get into facilitator. That's
to me, yeah.
So I've heard you say you like shorter time. I've heard you say you probably needed to have a pretty good amount of time.
I think it's in order to get consensus and really to have an effective plan that's not just a checklist. You need to have the time to really think and gain consensus.
Would this be, in your collective opinion, some snacky breakfast type stuff out there, not breakfast, but some snacky stuff, a lunch brought in type thing?
Mm-hmm.
And
then
is this
a glass of
an
wine.
8 to 4 or something?
Yes, I'm off the end of
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you can actually get the people there early in the morning, which
yeah.
is always my preference, I think you're done by 4.
So,
I mean, like you're burned
so
out.
Should
by
we,
yeah, you're burned out by
should
4.
Should we focus
sure.
around an 8 to 4 session with a little light breakfasty stuff out there? Some fruit bars or something? Or
continental breakfast we can do.
Yeah, a little bit of
that's
fruit melon or something. And
Peggy's got that covered.
Yep, and then
some donuts.
And some donuts. It's the healthy stuff, a day one's donuts.
I thought it was moon pies.
All right, moon pies. By the way, do we need another box of moon pies?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I'm hearing yeses and noes. By the way, on Fox News this morning, they were talking about moon pies and how great they were. And they're having
and
them
you
at
had
the
to
White
travel
House.
To get them, right?
No, you can buy them anywhere here in town.
No,
I know one place you can get them is at Cracker Barrel.
In Dave's house.
Yeah.
In Dave's house.
This guy, well, I've told you that story, but I ran into this guy and he sent me cases of moon pies. Not just boxes, but cases of moon pies. All right,
so
8 to 4. 8 to 4. Now let's talk about facilitator.
Well, can I jump in real quick?
Yes, ma'am. You got your hand raised?
Yes, I do.
All right, good. You're acknowledged.
Thank you. Ron, I think you and I talked about this. It may have come up at a previous meeting, but I started wondering if we wanted a facilitator who was specific to our area. Visit Tallahassee recently hired a facilitator for their strategic plan that is very knowledgeable about tourism, different structures of visitor associations in different communities, government run and private. And they did a number of stakeholder interviews, this facilitator did, leading up to the strategic plan. This may be a lot more than we need. It may be unworkable due to cost or the time or anything like that. I just wanted to mention it because I agree that an outside facilitator could be useful this time. I'd rather have Ron and everyone else participate than facilitate it. So we are, as we keep saying, I mean, this is a major point of transition for us. This, strategic plan would likely look different than the ones we've had in the past. And I just wondered if this was the moment when we wanted to kind of push the envelope a little bit more, to still be that full day you're talking about and everything like that, but it might make us do a little bit of different search for the right facilitator.
And Kristen, I was kind of thinking along the same lines. I was thinking that we might look to Gainesville to see if they had any recommendations on who they may have used in the past or wherever.
We have access to the Association of University Research Parks.
Yep.
That we're a member of.
Okay.
We could reach out to them, and I'm sure if we're going to bring in somebody from the outside, I think a broader scope would be good.
I do too.
And I don't want to, in my opinion, I don't think we should focus strictly on business incubation. I think we need somebody who has the bigger research park view. I know we spent a lot of time and had consultants and all that on focused on incubation, but I think it's time to think bigger.
Okay, I think so, you're right, Ron. Those interviews were interesting to me because, I mean, we probably have a good sense of what people are thinking about the park now versus a few years ago, but it might be a good idea to check in if we could afford that and have the time for that piece of it. Otherwise, it could just be the board.
Dave?
Yes.
So I think all that is a really great idea, especially if that were a person who could actually give us some guidance on, like, great idea, folks, but that's just not working these days. Or, you know, that kind of information that we don't have.
Yeah.
You
know? It's a consultant who kind of, also
yeah.
facilitates.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ron, you mentioned your organization. I don't know if I'd want to pay the expense of having somebody flown in here and spend the nights.
Well, that's kind of
obviously for somebody. I'm thinking again, Gainesville. That's closer. We just have to spend a night bill. We don't have the flying
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
But and I don't know. Gainesville might say we don't. We do our own. And
well,
yeah.
In Gainesville would not be the example that I would go to because
they're
bio.
Yeah, their bio, their research park is private. I think if you're going to go to Florida, I'd get somebody who's a 159 Part 5 organization like we are.
All right.
Like UCS?
I'm trying to remember if UCF is. But yeah, we could. Actually, I take, you know what, the director down at the Central Florida Research Park, he would be excellent. I bet. I've met him. I've been down there. I've seen what they do.
All right, why don't we leave it to you
okay.
to identify an appropriate facilitator?
Matter of fact, I think he may have told me he's been up here and done it before.
Really?
It was 2 years ago, I think, I was down there when I toured their incubator down there.
Yeah.
And I think he had mentioned he had been up here and either talk to the board or did something for the board. But.
All right, before we take this to the board with the three dates, let's make sure the person you are interested in could do all three of those dates.
Well, I'm going to need to first find out what they're going to charge. Or,
sure. But if they're not even available.
I got to do both, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
If they're available and either of those dates and what they're going to charge. I was kind of looking at where we're at on our professional fees budget, and we are right now, I hate to take you out of Melissa's pocket here, but we're basically $8,500 year to date better than budget on professional fees.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've been using it a lot in the last month. So
year's not over yet.
It's early, especially when we get into some of these other bigger construction contracts. But anyway, there's a little bit of room to play there.
Okay, collectively, let's talk now about participants. I think we want staff involved in it. What about TALCOR? What about legal counsel? Do you think they should be participants? Do you think they should not be?
I think that's asking a lot of legal counsel.
Yeah, too.
For, $8
a clock,
$250 an hour.
Yeah.
I would say our internal staff and not the external staff.
I agree. I don't think, from a strategic standpoint, I don't think this is...
So internal staff.
Were you thinking of people from outside the board as well?
I was asking that question. Is there anyone outside the board? Is there like a Steve Evans who's a big thinker? We'd use him, I think, on a subcommittee or two here or there. Kristen, you have a comment?
If you're asking about other participants outside the board, is that what you were...
Yeah, I'm asking, is that advisable? And if it is advisable, who should we have? We've already said we thought it's appropriate that we have all staff available participating.
To me, if there were people outside the board, in our staff, who would be good to participate, I think obviously Stephanie would be great with your knowledge, Stephanie, of all the buildings and things like that. But I think we'd have to be, for lack of a better word, strategic about it. Phil Holloman is someone that we're looking at getting engaged on the nonprofit side too. If we've got a couple of past board members or a couple of tech grant winners, I would try to go for people who have been more directly involved with what we've been doing for the last few years, or even representatives from some key partners out there. Bruce was on the nominating committee. I don't know if, his name just popped in my mind because of the email over there today. I would do something like that versus just general community members. Due respect to Steve Evans, he would be great, but he hasn't been directly involved since we did that advisory committee, 5 years ago?
Yeah, is there anyone you have in mind? Let me ask it that way.
I think Bill would be interested as a brand new voice if we're looking to have him engaged in the future. Otherwise, maybe looking to Ron and everyone else to say, is there one or two people who've been very engaged, whether it's a past board member, tech grant winner, or somebody like that?
And then, the other part is, how many people do you want in this meeting, especially in the interest of time? The more you get, the longer it takes to get consensus.
Staff, you have a recommendation?
I could see adding maybe two more people. I do like the idea of Bill Holloman. And maybe one other. Bill will bring some insight into EEP as it's run in the past, and as well as the idea of working with startups and that side of it.
Is there anybody who's been on our investment advisory?
No,
they're more strategically stationed.
They're
just for investments.
And honestly, the the role of that committee is very limited in what they need to do.
I agree with. I think what everybody's saying, I think it needs to be somebody who's already pretty close, or we're going to spend too much time getting us all on the same, on the same task, I'm afraid.
All right, so let's say we would have no more than two outsiders, if any at all. One potential one could be a Bill Holloman. I didn't hear a second or any further discussion on Steve. Did we have any thirst further follow him?
I would agree with, I don't know who said it, but if he hasn't been really involved recently, I'm not sure. But I don't have strong feelings about it.
He's indicated his interest in becoming involved.
Well, that's a good reason.
That's the only reason I mentioned him. He said not this year, but perhaps next.
That's a good reason.
So perhaps Bill, perhaps Steve. Ron, you can juggle that around if you want to put a third person there or strike out one of those two. All right, let's talk about where. Where would be an appropriate place? Do we want to get away from here? Do we want to have it here? I have no problem with being here. We've had it at the Hotel Duval, I think, before. I think we've had it, where else?
We had it in one of these buildings.
Jim Moran has a nice conference room.
Downtown?
Downtown.
Yeah, the last time we did it at Research Foundation A.
Yeah.
Not the big room, but the one behind it, and that seemed to be a pretty good sized room.
It did, once we figured out where we were going. And,
yes.
You know, I think it was a little clunky because there's no, Peggy, is there like no kitchen or anything?
There actually is a kitchen.
Oh, there is a kitchen.
It's between okay. those two rooms.
Would they accomplish that room, you think?
They did the last time.
Okay.
That's always good.
Do you want to check on that? Does anybody have any thoughts
about that? From a parking standpoint, I think here is better than downtown during the day. It's
oh, yeah.
At Jim Moran, that's a challenge
the
there.
Yeah.
You gotta pay
I think whatever staff figure out.
That's like a block from your office.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I could figure out parking for you, but that's...
Yeah, we'll work on that.
All right. So we got the who, what, where, when. Now the why.
Well, I don't know if this is exactly why, and I may be one of these that got too wedded to this, but when Ron and I were going around talking to all the electeds about what we were trying to do and had a one-page strategic plan, I just felt like I was the queen of the room. I mean, you know what happens to a strategic plan usually. Big old fat thing sits on the shelf, and that's
it. Gets dust all over.
Yeah. And I looked through this again. I think we can use this as a template. I think there's plenty of verbiage here.
As long as not everything is in year one again.
Well,
it always works out that way. Because you say, sure, we can get that done the next 3 months.
In reality, we haven't been done in year three.
This is a lesson, right? In black and white,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You know? So I think we might be able to obviate the stuff about strategic planning that makes me crazy, which is the reinventing of the wheel every single time if we...
I like that document.
Kind of stick with it.
I don't know that I've ever seen it. She carries it with her every day, so that's
could we get a copy of that and,
yeah,
and distribute it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Could we get a copy of that and distribute it? And let me ask another question since you bring this up. Is there any value to taking 15 minutes or so and bring us up to date on where we were with the last plan?
Oh, I think we have to do that.
It's
absolutely.
I think so too.
I give it to you in every board report.
I know.
Right.
It's
a little bit broader focus.
It's summer.
And maybe a little bit about why we thought we could do this in year one and we couldn't.
Is it still valid?
Is it still valid in year?
Well, I mean, my report at your direction I changed to be in the format of the strategic plan. I can just walk through that and give an update there. It's not a problem.
But this time I'm going to make people really listen.
No offense. Yeah, I understand.
But I do think there also needs to be a part of the meeting where you have just the total brainstorm thing. You know, so this is one thing that's very focused, but I think it does need to also be an opportunity to say, now, really, really, what could this be? You know, and kind of go crazy. For not more than 15 minutes.
You have the 15-minute vision. Okay.
All right, what points have we failed to discuss? So my next question would be...
What's my budget?
What's your question?
What's my budget?
Oh, I think you just got to do what we need to do. You tell me what we need for. We're not going to have sirloin, so for lunch. But
well, I think I'm more concerned about the facilitator.
It's
going to
only be the facilitator.
Because
you're
going to have travel.
Yeah, you're going to spend
overnight.
A few $1,000s.
Yeah, so you're probably
maybe ten at the most. I don't know, somewhere in that arena.
No, I don't have ten, but I was thinking, you know, maybe you got, because you're talking about one day.
Yeah,
3 to 5. What do you think?
Yes,
3 to 5.
Because I'm thinking you're probably talking about 2,000 for the day,
okay,
plus travel and food and expenses.
Mm-hmm. Will the facilitator need to come in and do a day's work with you in advance?
Well, they may want to actually come in and talk to the board at the board meeting before the strategic planning meeting, which we won't have one. Well, or maybe talk to exec, maybe. Because what, I'll just tell you, Kristen, just from my most recent experience, I think they like to at least talk to executive committee to make sure that their process and
the goals of the meeting, like we want a one pager, you know, here's some areas I think we need to be concerned about. I think they may want to talk to the executive committee. That might be a Skype call or just a conference call if it's an out-of-towner, but I think they'll want to have at least one conversation with the executive committee.
I think we could do that by sending materials, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about hiring somebody who's sort of familiar with what we do, that would be great, you know.
I think we should just let Ron figure this out. This is definitely
staff. If I'm in the 3 to 5 range.
We have 30 minutes left, and I think we need, I mean, I think the most helpful part of the meeting is hearing from you guys about the program, so.
Okay, good.
I think you guys know what we need for strategic planning, and maybe get it calendared and go from there.
Okay.
All right, now my last question is, do we want to take this to the board and say, here's what we believe needs to be done, and how do you feel, or do we want to go take this to the board and say, here's what we've established?
Well, Dave?
Yes, ma'am.
I think I was on the chain when it was April just now, but I think we need to see what our options are. If we're looking for someone who might have some knowledge in research parks and other things, they might have some suggestions. We've never asked for a facilitator of this kind before. So letting Ron just put some feelers out and find out what is available. And on that point, you all were talking about other Florida locations before. I would say maybe regionally. Antonio over at Domi just came from Alabama. I wonder if he has any suggestions from that area. I mean, they've got a few cities with a lot of incubators. So I'm just wondering if we could do a region and then let Ron just ask some questions. And to your point, we probably need board approval to move forward in some parts of it. So maybe we see what we can get by August meeting, or else the exec makes the decision. Did that work?
Well, August meeting's coming up here, what is it, the 2nd? That's pretty quickly.
Week on Thursday?
Next week, yeah.
Next week, yeah. What is it, the 2nd? That is the 2nd, yeah. Kind of back to my question is, do we want to sort of say, this is what we have planned, or do we want to throw this out and let it be debated again?
I would much rather say this is what we have planned. I don't know if that's overbearing, but that would be my.
Well, we've had a good hearing.
We've had a good hearing.
This is why you have an executive committee.
Exactly.
That would be my impression as well, but.
And it does not require any approval. There's nothing in here that requires approval of the board.
The only thing is, if we get to a point where we've identified one date, we want to poll the board to see if there is sufficient attendance. We're going to go to the board and say, here are 2 dates or 3 dates or.
We've got, how many dates you got?
Three dates.
And how many are you willing to accept?
I don't want more than 3 dates.
No, I mean, how many attending?
Yeah.
How many attending?
1%? Well, I'd love to have 80% or better. That would be 9 people.
Thereabouts. 9 or 10.
Yeah, so.
So I, if this requires a motion, I move that we authorize staff as the executive committee to go ahead and get on with it. And there may need to be communication back to us as an executive committee if we have problem getting the right numbers of attendees for any of these days.
Yeah, worst case, we just have to go back out.
We have to do it again.
Another Google poll and try to find a date.
All right, let me ask this question. Do we need a motion, or do we just need to direct staff to do this?
You can just direct.
I think, why don't we just direct staff to, I think you have the feeling of the committee.
Yep.
So we might ask you to go ahead with that.
Okay.
All right, I've asked the board members at the next meeting to bring in 2 suggestions that they might take a moment to 15, 20, 30 seconds on each one, if they would, or whatever, as to what we might do to significantly impact the visibility of this facility, of this park. Not necessarily the visibility, but the knowledge and understanding who we are and what we do. One thing I thought of that would be on my list, MagLab does a really good job. They used to do it once a year, now I think they do it several times a year of having an open house. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we could collaborate with them and do an open house for all the facilities on this campus and make it a really big thing here for us to do.
Denise, can you address that?
The MagLab has actually already been working with the facilities, the organizations that actually want to be open for the MagLab, or for the open house. I know the College of Engineering is part of it, AME is part of it, CAPS opens for the MagLab. I think we are, I've been talking to Kristen Roberts about this and making it an entire science weekend.
Yeah.
So there is potential for that.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah.
Kristen is the communication
director.
Yeah, yes. For the MagLab. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right, well, that was one thing. The other thing is we've got this massive, just beautiful vacant lot out here. What is there that we could do in that lot that would draw people to this site on a weekend or whatever?
And to clarify, you had asked that we send this up to the board and that we would discuss this at the board meeting.
Sure.
So I have done that. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are just things I'm thinking of as to, I'd like us to give a little bit of thought process to that we get more visibility.
In Denise's report, she also can update you on her most current efforts to do just that.
Perfect. All right.
Suggestion, Dave?
I'm sorry?
I have a suggestion.
Yes, ma'am.
We could try flipping the agenda next week's board meeting and letting Denise, particularly Denise and Ron, go first so that we can really dig into an update on what Denise has been working on, because we always had a very compressed time talking about her robust update. We might get a sense of what's happening already and then be able to build on that.
We actually have a very robust board meeting. Gary Ostrander will be coming. And Michael will talk about it in his report, but we've invited others to talk about funding options. So we're going to have guests here that we're going to need to get through quick. So once again, staff will yield their
short shrift
time. So we'll work on that agenda and see. Hopefully, we've got as much as we can on consent and can address just a couple of those things. But
well,
yes.
Kristen, you make a good point. What the contributions of staff do, and sometimes they do get kind of elevated to the last 5 minutes. I do want to compliment our staff. I do want to acknowledge the work they do and the professionalism we have here on this team. But Kristen, thanks for kind of elevating that into the conversation. All right, let's call on Director of Programs and Communications for a report.
All right. One thing that has already passed that we did in June was we had the roast of Larry Lynch at Grassland. We had about 35 people, and it was a great time. It was a lot of fun. We do have a kind of memento recognition kind of thing that we created for Larry. It wasn't ready for the roast, so he will also be here for the Board of Governors meeting so that we can present it and say thank you to him as we let him go into his retirement.
Right. So, are we going to give him a chance to talk?
No.
He just needs to smile and say yes.
Gestures only.
He can just say thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
When I gave him a free beer, he thought I was giving him a trip to somewhere. I don't know where. He came back and said, golly, I thought there was really going to be something big in there.
Michael and I have been working on the Entrepreneurial Excellence Program. He's put everything together, and it's starting October 2nd. So I am helping with the marketing efforts for that. I've already got it started, and hopefully we'll keep moving with it. I have a whole action list for it. One thing that Kristen actually mentioned to me about a year ago that she wanted us to do was actually put a STEM outreach platform on our new website. So what I'm doing is I'm actually researching all the STEM education possibilities within the park at the current organizations And I'm going to create an entire new section for the website to kind of allow people to kind of be directed to the actual facility to see what's available and actually give them more information rather than having to go to each individual one, because it's really confusing and pretty tedious at this moment.
So kind of a portal.
Exactly.
For STEM education.
And I'll just have external links to what exactly they're looking for.
Cool.
Our next Tech Topics event is slated for Wednesday, August 29th at the Mag Lab. I'm still working on the speakers, but I think I have Jeremy Owens with the Mag Lab. He does geochemistry, so I think that's going to be a really interesting topic. And I'm also working with SEAC, and I will also be reaching out to the Department of Anthropology to see if they want to have somebody talk as well. I think it'll be a really good kind of connection between the three that are actually doing similar things. The last thing that I wanted to talk about was a something that I've been working on for a while. It's called the Innovation Hunt. It's going to be an Instagram-based scavenger hunt in the park. It'll be about teams of 2 to 4 people. This is going to be really targeting the young professionals and the millennials and even the Gen Zs, so 18 to 35. Which is a target that we really aren't reaching out to. Even with the Maglev open house, those are really targeted towards families and a little bit older. So each team will be given a certain amount of riddles to be fulfilled within the park. Now, in order for them to actually do it, they will have to have a public Instagram account. They will have to use a hashtag, which will be the Innovation Hunt TLH2018, and then they will also have to tag us. In addition to that, they will also have to have one of their teammates in the photo to make sure that they aren't copying and pasting from other people's.
For now them, you know why it's 18 to 34, because the rest of us would not know how to do that.
And it's all social media. So in order for them to be in the running for the grand prize, they will need to answer 12 to 15 of the riddles, and it's in a 3-hour period. Depending on how many teams we have is going to be the approach that we take with this, either by posting the clues via an Instagram every 15 minutes, or we give them a list ahead of time. So it really just depends on what it is. But the grand prize would be completely targeted to the young professionals, because we want to do either virtual reality headsets, which are estimated about $200 to $400, mm-hmm. or GoPros or something along the lines. But in order for them to be enrolled in the grand prize, they have to have their team, they have to have a minimum, and then they are entered into the raffle to be considered for the grand prize, and then we will have the drawing at the very end.
Can people who work here be in it, do it?
Yes.
Okay.
There is going to be a cost of about $20 per team to enroll into the contest in order to help with the money. But as long as they do that and sign the waivers or anything, it's not going to be, they're allowed to be part of it.
Yeah.
But you probably couldn't win any prize, right?
Yeah, we don't put them in. No, they can.
We're talking about staff versus people who work in the park. Staff, we're not going to be a part of
it. I meant people who work in the park.
So just to clarify, anyone in the park can participate.
What to do
no, we're going to
We're getting shirts.
I'm not the demographic either.
I'm sorry.
Now we are going to get staff shirts, so that we're going to be working on it, so we'll have Innovation Park shirts.
That's a great idea.
To the extent I understand it, it's
a great idea. So Dave, that's it goes at what you're talking about. This is our first effort. Okay, it's a little different demographic than maybe what we've seen out here in the past, but this is an opportunity for us, and it's going to be in the fall. So we're looking at September 29th.
September 29th.
So that will allow us, the kids will be back, the students will be back, and hopefully we get a lot of university students and TCC students out to explore.
Publish this heavily over to College Engineering.
What's that?
Publish this pretty heavily.
It works. Yeah. We'll talk a lot about how we're going to market this. The key is going to be, you know, how do we get the word out into the right. She's all social media stuff. She's got access to certain things associated with the universities and social target.
So it seems to me like this is exactly why you need a strategic plan, because some of the key, like, we have so many different audiences that we're trying to influence, And so the audience, the people that you may think and I may think we should be influencing, whether they're the top business leaders in town, whether they're out of town potential businesses, whether they're university students, entrepreneurs, I mean, there's so many. And the difficult challenge with communications and marketing is making choices and saying, these are the kinds of people that we want to go after, and here's a strategy to reach them, and here's what we want from them. And as a result of that, you say, and we're not going to be able to do key influentials in Tallahassee. So we're not going to spend time and energy on the key influentials. Or we are going to do those people, and that takes a completely different strategy. So I think that that's why a strategic plan, because it becomes very important, is how does the communication support that plan, and what audiences are we trying to impact? Because I think it's very easy for us to try to get everybody, and you cannot effectively reach everybody. You have to really make this, you know, you can have some strategies that are general public, but others that are niche, but you can't do everything. Right. So I think it's great that we have these kind of programs, but I think as we move forward, that's something that I would like to see, is just a real clarity around what is it that we're trying to do from a communication standpoint. You know, what is our goal to get, is it like super entrepreneur focused? And if so, then how do we do that?
You want to tell them about what else you're working on in that regard, as far as you're surveying other research parks?
Oh, yes. So one thing that I'm actually doing that's kind of on the side is I'm going to do a market research analysis of the top research parks in the country to understand what their strengths, weaknesses are, how they're actually marketing the park, mm-hmm. and kind of their approaches. Because I think it's
and who they're marketing it to.
Exactly.
Which is key.
Right. Yeah. So I think that is one project that I have that's on my list to kind of move forward with.
You're amazing. You're an amazing young woman.
So, staying ahead, it was pretty good.
Yeah, she is.
So
she blushed well too. I tell you.
And you should share your plan for this innovation hunt with her, because we've talked about those things. Who are we targeting? Why are we targeting them? And yes, you're right. You need a bigger strategy, because there are trade offs and
right.
choices.
Right, and there's limited resources. Yes. Is the problem.
Yeah. So we wanted to take a stab at this.
Yeah.
At doing something in the park that had general community appeal,
right.
that would increase the recognition of the park in that demographic. That's the
right.
That was the only goal. We don't necessarily see, you know, we're not probably going to lease more space or get more entrepreneurs, although we could. That could impact the entrepreneur market, but it really is more about just general awareness of the park, because that's what we hear a lot of from the board about is, hey, nobody knows where, people in the community know
that park. Really parsing that, to me, is important. So if it is that the leaders at FSU don't know about us, because it really doesn't matter if, you know, Joe Blow, state worker, doesn't know about us. I mean, that may be the case. But it may be more important that city commission candidates know about the park. It may be more important that county officials know what's going on, et cetera. So just picking those out, I think, is important.
Absolutely, I agree that with a more targeted plan is appropriate. But like I said, this was our
It just reminds me that as we think about the strategic plan, that should guide our communications.
Yeah, if you
long
look,
term.
If you look in the last strategic plan, there's a line that says, a developing marketing and communications plan.
Right.
Well, and you're inviting place to live, work, and play. So I'm playing with the play side of that too.
Yep. Yeah, good. Absolutely.
Good, but good, we good. Have now what we haven't had before. We've got you on the board, and we've got Denise over there.
Yeah.
And we have you telling us you have to make these choices. And I think that's absolutely appropriate in the plan. You know, make some choices.
How long have you been here?
A little over 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's done, I mean, it's really amazing to me how many different kinds of skills you have and how willing you are to just jump in and do that. I think it's fantastic. But
she was my first step at fulfilling that
strategy. That's good.
Was to hire her.
Like
we didn't have that. Before her, all we had was me and an administrative assistant. That was it.
I know. It's crazy.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
Quick comment, Dave?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I know I keep saying that, but trying to jump in, if you guys, I completely agree with the conversation you're just having, including how much we've done in the last 2 years. I think we're more ready to implement a plan going forward. But I was just looking online, and I don't know what day this is. There's typically a welcome back students event, city and county participate in. If it happens before your innovation hunt, it might be a good place to promote it, or Matt in our public information office over at the county, he'll have all the details if there's any other events before October.
It's a welcome back, what's it called?
I was trying to look and see what the name of it was, Ron, and I don't know. It just started in the last couple of years, I think, that there was some event that Cascade, kind of a welcome back students, but I'm not able to put my finger on the name right now. So
yeah, Denise will follow up on that.
Help just fill that out and what other opportunities might be there. And then I will have an opportunity. Lester Hutt, who is
just looking at his
restaurant fame and has been involved some, he's organizing an event for the evening of the 22nd that is welcoming professors and spouses of the, I think FSU's hiring maybe 120 or more people.
250 between FSU and FAMU, new faculty.
He said 250?
Yes. That's what he says in the email. I'm forwarding that email to Ron and Denise.
Who is he?
He's
speaking at the August 26th event, or 22nd event. So that's not the young professionals, but that's another population of folks who may, some of them may be working out there. We don't know. So just wanted to mention that I think Matt may be able to help identify some places and some ways to promote the innovation. That's most of what I was.
Great. Thank you.
Real quick, I Googled or looked up, I'm not even sure the right term, how many different organizations statewide there were involved with trails. And I know of at least two, so I'll give you those names.
Okay.
Just so, again, when we get ready to do whatever, we can maximize anybody who's got trails to help us with anything. So, completed?
Yeah.
Nice report. Well done. Okay. Michael, you're on.
So Denise mentioned the EEP class starting October 2nd. I've secured most of the speakers. I'm still working on a couple that we're trying to juggle some dates around to get them included. There's probably going to be an addition of an educational component to it, whereas the one I attended in the past, it just jumped right into the speakers and it was more anecdotal. And so I'd like to be able to offer something that teaches a little bit of entrepreneurship in the beginning of the class, just a short segment. Otherwise, it'll be relatively the same. Also, I had meetings with FAMU Representative David Teague on a couple of grants. We were awarded one that we signed the other day, which is a REACH grant, which is primarily SBIR, STTR training. That's a three-year, $45,000 grant, $15,000 a year. Working on a second one where we're merging the TCAP program into an I-Corps program that we hosted, which is basically the same thing.
You probably don't know what TCAP is.
And neither do I. But the I-Corps is the National Innovation Corps program that Georgia Tech started a while back, and our local node, or our southern node, is out of Alabama, University of Alabama, which came here and did a program for us where we had a lot of interest. Few companies succeeded in completing the course, but the main difference between TCAP, which is what?
That Technology Commercialization Assistance Program, I believe. And it was a collaboration between the College of Engineering,
Dome Station, Domi, and FAMU.
And FAMU. And they, to some extent, FSU. But.
And they were giving, FAMU was giving about $15,000 through Domi to administer the program that was taught by Lawrence Tinker and Mike Devine out of the College of Engineering. I talked to both of them. Lawrence is moving, as you may or may not know, to UF coming up soon.
Do you know Lawrence Stickers?
I know the name.
He was with the Florida... FICPR, Florida Institute for the...
Florida Institute.
Yes, yeah. Sorry.
Right.
FICPR.
And so Lawrence...
Republican research.
So Lawrence obviously won't be doing it. Mike Devine didn't want to do it because, quite frankly, he said Lawrence did most of it anyway. So they were wanting to merge it with our program in I-Corps. And so we're going to be receiving another $15,000 a year to be doing that. So I'm kind of excited about that.
So between the two,
yeah,
that's $30,000 a year in grants, right?
And we're working on more, but that's what's coming through quickly with FAMU. And the nice part about our I-Corps program, in case it sounds like it's conflicting with any other programs that are out there, because there's been some discussion about that, is that ours comes with a qualification for the $50,000 national I-Corps program at Georgia Tech. And so they're able to apply for that, having gone through the mini I-Corps, I call it, instead of TCAT, because I can remember mini I-Corps better. But also it gives NSF lineage to the participants so that they can go after their own National Science Foundation grants, which you can't do without lineage. So it gives them lineage. So it's vastly different than anything else that's out there, in my opinion. So those are two grants that I'm working on then. The third one, by the August 2nd board meeting, I'm going to have a slide presentation of our big ask of $17 million to build our new incubator. And I've gotten verbal positive commenting from the EDA representative that $8.5 million from them is not unreasonable. And they've been pushing to hurry up that process along. So the attempt is to get the other stakeholders in a room, and we're using August 2nd to try to do that. Gary Ostrander at FSU is, I believe, has agreed to be there. I sent out emails to Tim Moore, to Al, and Christina at OEV, to Kim Moore as well.
Just to make sure she's here. So
Kristen got an email from me, and we're working on who we might get from the state. And so I'm trying to match the 8.5 with local 8.5. And quite frankly, I'm not prepared to say what amount, but FSU is verbally committed a fair portion of that. So I'm happy to hear that they're interested enough to move forward with this. So the presentation that I'll be presenting on August 2nd will outline the benefits to not only higher education, but other economic development institutions in the community in general.
So if I understand correctly, when we come here for the board meeting, we're going to have Gary, whoever else here,
yes,
and you're going to do a PowerPoint,
yes,
that says this is our big ask,
yes,
for our incubator.
Correct.
And okay, that sounds great.
Let me ask, agenda-wise, I know Gary has got some conflicts that day. He's supposed to be bouncing back and forth between here in the mag lab. He's going to excuse himself to rush over here for our meeting. I'd hate for him to do his part and rush out. Should we move him down in the agenda a little bit so he hears Michael?
Well, we're going to move Michael up in the agenda.
All right, that's what I'm saying.
Wherever he needs to be.
Wherever we have all the people in the room we need, we'll go right to
that. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've already teed it up with Eric Elms. He knows what we're doing. Eric's had a conversation with Gary. This is not, we're not springing it on anybody. I've teed it up with Christina Paredes at OEV so that she knows what we're doing. As a matter of fact, Kristen said something about putting it in their, I don't know what you call it, financial plan. And I think we were talking like $1.5 million. So for whatever they're going to present to IA, I'm sure that's got a lot of hurdles to go through, but at least she's got it to tee it up.
So this is really
fast.
This is like tomorrow that this is happening.
Next week.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is there anything that we need to be doing to help with regard to this? You alluded to maybe some people from the state. I don't know what you were referring to.
Well, the question is, are we going to go after any state money?
Right.
to get into the pot. One of the big things that Gary has said is that this is as much, if not more, about economic development than it is about his Office of Research and what their goals and objectives are. So he wants to see everyone with skin in the game, okay? And by everyone, he means everyone. So FSU, FAMU, TCC, potentially, EDA, state, and local dollars. So,
well, do you want to try to, do you think there's any point in trying to get Sissy Proctor here?
Can I chime in real quick?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay. I think somebody from the state would be good, and Michael, my response to the email was mostly focused on county, but for the state, let's remember, I mean, Sissy Proctor is wonderful. I think, you know, she would be a coup for any administration, but the chances are high that she will not be our director of the CEO come January. So one of the staff people might be better or something like that. I think this is going to have to be more legislative. So on the state end, I wonder if it's someone from Mossberg's office or something like that, but I'm not sure they
Moran Osley and
willing to come at this point. We may need to do
even just
on that end.
I think
there is another round of Triumph dollars, or not Triumph, but the Florida
Job Growth
Grant, everything like that.
Well,
we could get one application. Sorry, what, just the last on the city county. I think there's more to talk about there, but I hear other people chiming in on the state, so I'll save that.
Damn.
And now that I've said this, there's going to be very little time to get anybody else in here at this meeting. We don't want it to be cumbersome, I think, for this. But
it's cumbersome enough.
It's cumbersome enough. But I think that coming up with a list of people who need to next see the PowerPoint, whatever, and doing that pretty quick is...
Mm-hmm.
And I am committed still. I mean, I haven't even been in town to talking to the two people at DEO who I hope may still be there, who are supposed to be able to talk about return on investment and all the magical stuff about the job growth grant fund. But that's down the road.
Yeah, we're just,
that's not this.
You know, just the biggest challenge we have right now is the tea leaves. When we couldn't get a letter out of the governor's office and required no state funds, all we needed was a letter that would allow us to get money out of SBA.
And not a little amount compared to like
this. What, $150,000?
$125,000 for each year for 5 years.
And you could not get the letter.
You wouldn't get the letter. And we, trust me, we hit every contact person. We thought we had at least kind of smoothed the pathway to get it to them, and got nowhere. So.
Well, did anybody say, and this is why?
No.
No, you never got anything.
Christina.
You know, I mean, it died in the governor's office. We had tremendous support. Y'all should know Lon and Michael did a great job on this. I was making a lot of phone calls. It was a simple choice by the governor whether or not to do it. That's my best impression. Can I go back real quick to who we could get before next week and the state and local piece of this real quick?
If it's real quick, because we're already exceeding our 3 o'clock appointment time, so go ahead.
Yes, and I know I'm going to have to go in a couple minutes myself, but I think given the transition on the state end and given where we are, that example is the best one with the current governor. I think we need to focus on building our team locally, because that's the way that we're going to strengthen any request to put into the state in the future. I think the timing is critical, particularly regarding OED and city and county, because in September we have a workshop. That's what Christina was referencing, Ron, in the financial plan. We have a 2-hour workshop on economic development before the blueprint meeting later in September. And I think we've got to get OED staff and city county staff thinking about this request now, because there's going to be a lot of moving parts, including the convention center and other things like that that are in discussion in September. So that, Michael, what I missed in county administration, I think having somebody from economic development in the city and county can, yes, run through OED, but having a Ken Morris or someone else, and even a legislative director or Andy Johnson on the county side is good for us as well outside of just OED staff. And it may even be that we need Ben Chambers in the room in addition to Christina or Ben. But I think the local staff could be pretty robust. I'm also wondering about Scott Balog from PCC. I've heard a number of comments recently that he's been Jim Murdaugh's right hand, but he is, I think, to be more focused on the TCC Center, the downtown, the Burt Old Brooklyn building and programming. And so I haven't talked about it yet, but he may be someone who wanted to include from TCC just so he's read into the project.
And we've met with Scott. And he knows what we're doing, and Michael's worked with him closely on some of the stuff that they're trying to do down there, at least to give him some ideas and thoughts. I don't know that he is in the same role.
He's not. He was the named director of the new center.
Yeah, so they moved him out of that chief of staff role with TCC. So
I thought he was moving out of the role.
I think Kim, I'm guessing that Kim is the one that's probably going to carry that message.
All right, let's go back to Michael.
Okay, so in regard to timing, I did have a long discussion with our EDA representative on Thursday into Friday, and he's giving me very strong hints that I need to turn in something sooner than later, meaning by Wednesday, quite frankly, of this week. So what I did is, because the official application is a 2 to 6 week process, I'm working on something that is an ED900P to submit by Wednesday in 2 days. And that is a proposal basically saying that we're proposing to submit a full application in order to get in the queue. And he said that will do, because what I'm trying to do is to get under the $600 million Economic Adjustment Assistance Program, which is the disaster supplemental or the disaster relief program, because that's where the 8.5 would come from. If we miss that deadline and those funds are extended, this isn't something that comes up unless we have another disaster. And so the time is ticking, and we would have to go under the incubator assistance program, which caps out, even though they say at 3 million, it's more likely, because I've done two of them with EDA, 1.5 million or so, which is a far cry from the 8.5 million. Therefore, I'm working the next 2 days diligently on getting the information needed for the ED900P proposal, which will get us in the queue for the full-blown application.
Go for it.
Yeah, thank you. I think I will. So what I've been doing is I've been looking at the ARPC creds, the SEDS plan, I'm back in my DOD days, which is the Comprehensive Economic Development Plan that's done out by the Regional Commission, the Apalachicola Regional Commission, no, the Appalachie.
Planning.
Regional, whatever that thing's called.
Right, regional planning.
And I'm using their SEDS plan to build the plan that I'm using, because under the EDA proposal, they require that you use the information done on the SEDS, which was recently completed. So that's
the
nice.
Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy? Is that
it
right,
is.
Kristen?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Kristen's on that board.
I didn't see Kristen's name on it, but I saw DOMI representatives and some others, which was interesting. Dominic was on there.
Michael, I'm on the ARPC Board of Directors and on the State Planning Council Board of Directors. That's what Ron's referring to. If anybody's interested, there is a SEDS workshop at 10 a.m. on the 3rd. Michael, have you gotten a note about that yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. I'll make sure you get it. This SEDS report is critical for the EDA funding, and we're really lucky It has taken a jump into the 21st century just in the last year, just this update. Before that, it was not as helpful for us in an application like this. So Richard at the ARPC, Michael,
he could
help. If you need anything additional from SES or what his update is going to be, he's going into the annual update on the 3rd. He could help with some verbiage or language about how much it has changed and how it's a living document now. I don't know if any of that's necessary, but I think he would be willing to help you before Wednesday or at any time in the future.
I think that would be very helpful, and I appreciate that because, quite frankly, what I found in there is that we're not going to meet either of the two main criteria to apply for the disaster relief stuff, that being income, per capita income for the region, being 80% of national average, and the second being unemployment rates being, I think it was 90% of the national average. And according to what I read in the report, we don't meet either of those, so there's a special section, which is the third option, and I'm going to need a lot of help on that. So maybe I'll talk to him about that. Could you send me the contact info, please? Or is it on the site? Because I have the site open.
No, I'll email you and Richard and Ron right now, so you're all
perfect
together. Yeah.
You say that's Richard?
Yes, Richard. Let me get his last name real quick. Tenick, I think.
Okay, I don't have that. Okay, I got a couple others, but I think Bruce retired and okay.
But anyway, that's what I need to get in by Wednesday.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
You done?
I'm okay, done. Good. Ron.
Wait,
let me first acknowledge. Nice work.
Thank you.
I'm proud of what you're getting accomplished. It looks like we have some great opportunities out there, and I acknowledge you bring in a whole new level of understanding and expectations for us all, so thank you.
Thank you.
One quick question. I'll ask this to, again, the committee. I guess I'm the committee now.
And Kristen.
Would it be appropriate to ask our board members to attend at least one of your program nights, for their own familiarization with what you're doing, but would they be in your way, or would it be beneficial?
I'm not sure I can answer that just yet. Let me think about that. But thank you for the offer.
I would want to think some of our board members need to know a little bit more about what that program is and how you're conducting it. But
a couple of them, including Kim, are on the program, so that's helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you.
Think about it.
Yes.
All right. Okay. We'd
also like that board members going to Tech Topics events. We're not getting very good turnout.
All right.
With maybe the exception of Kristen.
Yep.
We'd love to have them there. That's where they're going to learn a lot about what's going on in the park.
Yeah. Make sure you publish that.
Well, we do. They're all on the list.
I know. They get it. Reminders.
They need encouragement.
All right.
And I want to just echo what you had to say. We've got a great staff right now. Just when I think back a couple of years ago, what we had. Not because the people weren't any good. They were. We just didn't have the capabilities that we have now. And it's phenomenal what we can get done. And everyone, we don't talk much about what Peggy does, but...
But we see it all the time.
We see it, okay? And she supports what we're all doing. So I want to thank staff for all their hard work and all you guys have done, including staff. I'm sorry. Our contracted staff.
Yeah.
So I only have a couple things real quick. One, just an update on Sunnyland. I don't recall if I mentioned this in the last meeting, but they are not continuing their lease.
Yeah.
And they are going to get all of their belongings out. We do have personal guarantee to guarantee that. And like $50,000 or something to make sure all that stuff gets removed. But I've been assured that everything's going to be removed, including the fence around the property. So I'm encouraged by that. We'll see if it happens.
Deadline is?
Well, that's probably going to be the thing. The lease is up August 3rd, but I think he may not get it out until August 30th. But
okay.
He's assured me it'd be out by August 30th.
Yeah.
And then CAPS, the Center for Advanced Power Systems, They presented, FSU presented their expansion plans to the Development Review Committee at our last meeting, which we approved, and that is, what's the square footage? I forget. I think it's 6,600 square feet off the back of the Research Foundation building. It's a separate standalone building that is a duplicate of this building right here, right behind it. So this little building here, so it'll go right into the parking lot.
The little white dot.
It's hard to see. There's a yellow.
Yellow dot.
I'm sorry, Ron. I missed the beginning of the sentence. They're building something new there.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
They're expanding, adding another building.
Okay.
And it's pretty cool.
Good.
So, and they're actually have plans for additional expansion down the road. But so anytime they're growing, it's a good thing. So, and that's all I got for now. Everything else is
we've talked. Board meeting in August next week is point to the building, so we all know that one right there. And parking is best where?
Usually you end up parking behind, in the grass, over behind HPMI and the little L-shaped building next to it. Point to the grass and HPMI, where you end up parking a lot of times. No, yeah, up there. So it's actually, there's a drive that goes back there, and there's some grassy area you can park there.
There's also parking.
Yeah, the parking lots aren't on that drawing.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of empty parking spaces.
Well, right now, especially in summertime, yeah, it should be easier.
So when you'll re-notice this and tell us where we're going, I'm sure. So.
We'll have yard signs out, I promise.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, I'm going to need to drop off the call real quick. Do you need me for any of those?
Well, we're getting ready to say, would you like to make a motion to adjourn?
Okay. Well, I'm going to drop off now. I pushed it a little bit. Thank you all very much.
I heard her make the motion. I heard Ann second.
I seconded it.
Listen, let me in closing thank everybody for the participation today. I thought we had a very good meeting. I appreciate the professionalism we have both on the board and staff. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.